spring, time for Lum and Abner, brought to you by the makers of Miles Nervine and Alka-Seltzer. Finally solved their unlabeled canned goods dilemma by turning them over to the food drive, getting credit at the wholesale house for a new stock of merchandise. As they were solving this problem, a strange telegram arrived. The wire merely stated that a Mr. A. Hatstaff was arriving the next afternoon at 2 o'clock on important business. But it failed to state just what that business was. Well, we'll soon see what happens next. Well, it's late afternoon, and the man of the house has just come home from work. He complains,
"Had a terribly busy day today, and I feel awful. I have acid indigestion and..."
"Well, dear, why don't you take some Alka-Seltzer?"
"Yes, why don't I? Because I took the last one last night. What luck. Here, when I need it the most, we don't have any."
"Hey, aren't you forgetting something? What about that extra package we bought?"
"Say, that's right. We did buy an extra package, didn't we? Boy, am I glad we took the advice of that guy on the radio who says..."
"When you go to your drugstore, get an extra package of Alka-Seltzer. Buy two packages instead of one. Have the extra assurance that Alka-Seltzer will always be handy when you want it for the extra effectiveness it offers from occasional headache or acid indigestion, muscular fatigue, or the ache all over feverish feeling of a cold. Yes, buy two packages of Alka-Seltzer instead of one. Always keep your home well stocked with Alka-Seltzer." And now let's see what's going on down in Pine Ridge. As we look in on the little community today, we find the old fellow standing near the front of their jot-and-down store, looking out the window. Listen.
"Well, here it is 2 o'clock, and I don't see no signs of Mr. Hatstaff or whatever his name is yet."
"Well, it ain't 2 o'clock, huh? Look there. Got 3 minutes to go yet."
"What's 3 minutes? I could tell by the looks of that telegram nobody was going to show up."
"Well, what you been standing here looking out the window for the last hour for if you know nobody was coming?"
"Well, a man can look out the front window of his store if he wants to, can't he?"
"Well, sure, but..."
"All right, then. He ain't coming nohow."
"Well, he said in that telegram that he was coming, said he's going to be here at 2 o'clock. Important business, that's what he said."
"Yeah, but after that mix-up we got in when we thought Henry J. Kaiser was coming here, I ain't believing nothing till I actually see it. And even then, I won't be sure."
"Well, I believe this is different, hold on. See, this Mr. Hattrack ain't claiming he's no celebrity, as far as I can see. You can't get him mixed up with nobody like you did Mr. Kaiser."
"No, but you can tell from that telegram that he thinks he's somebody awfully important."
"You can, huh?
When he gets here, I'm going to look him over pretty careful. I'll tell you that right here now."
"I thought you said he wasn't coming."
Well, I don't think he is.
Oh.
I just meant that if he did come, which he ain't, I'd do what I said. But I won't have to, as long as he ain't. What I mean is, oh, come on, let's quit standing here gawking out the window like a couple of country chicks. We've got work to do."
"Well, all right. Maybe you're right. I don't. Just wait a minute, Mom.
There's nobody coming."
"Look out there. Nobody just got out of a taxi cab."
"Huh?"
"For somebody that ain't there, he sure got on a nice suit."
"Well, I'll be dead blamed.
Oh, yeah. He's a fancy dresser.
Look at the size of that briefcase he's toting."
"Is that what that is?"
"Yeah, more like
carpet bag.
Book salesman. That's what he is. Don't get to take me in like you done a couple of years ago now."
"What do you mean, taking in?"
"Well, don't you recollect when the fancy dress salesman come along and showed you what he called Dr. Eli's 8-foot shelf?"
"Oh, that, yeah."
"All you ever got was the shelf. Never did seem to get any books."
"No. Well, it worked out pretty good, though. I found out we done had a book, anyway. So Elizabeth used the shelf for an ironing board. We got a lot of use out of it."
"Oh, yeah, here he comes. Better let me handle this.
Oh.
I won't let him get away with nothing."
"Yeah, go ahead. You handle it. You handle it."
"Well, howdy do, sir.
How do you do?"
"I might just as well tell you right here and now, I got a book and a shelf both."
"Abner, hey, shelf. What can we do for you, mister? You got my telegram, didn't you?" "Oh, yeah, sure. You must be Mr. Hatstaff."
"Hatstaff.
Huh?"
"First of all, I'll need a place to work. And a telephone."
"To work? Well, just a minute here. We ain't needing no extra hands. What you might do is go and see Walt Bates out at the sawmill."
"Sawmill?"
"Yeah, he hires extra hand now and then."
"I'm not looking for a job. I'm here to make all the advance arrangements for the arrival of Mr. Hope."
Mr. Who?
Hope. Bob Hope. Well, great Scott, man, you surely know Bob Hope.
No, I don't believe I do. Live around here, does he?
Liver? Bob Hope, the radio star. The motion picture star, the country's leading entertainer.
Oh, him. That's all I want to know. Now, I don't know what your tricks you're up to, young fella, but you can just take that briefcase of yours and get out of here just as fast as you can.
Yeah, that's a time.
Just a minute here. You forget you're talking to Mr. Hope's advance man.
I can't forget it because I never noticed. Now, run along. We've had all the trouble we want around this place.
Yeah, come on. Get on your way, Mr. Hattrack.
Hatstaff.
Oh, excuse me.
Now, look, man, I haven't time to monkey around. Mr. Hope is flying in here next Monday, and we've got to clear an emergency landing field.
He's doing what?
Flying in.
Well, I do know. I don't get there. Something I want to see.
Well, you'll see it.
Where?
His plane will arrive at 10 a.m. sharp.
Plane? Oh, he's come by our plane. So I was going to say, I thought if he was...
There are 1,001 other arrangements we've got to make now. Lunch, transportation, refueling, 1,000 things. So we've got to get to work right away. I wonder if your men would take that desk and push it over there by the telephone. Is that the only phone you've got in here?
Well, natural.
Well, try to get me a couple of extensions put in, please. In the meantime, this will have to do. Hurry up. Get that desk over here.
Yes, sir. Hurry up there. Grab hold of it.
No, sure. Come on. I got it.
Don't spill none of these papers off of it.
No, man, this thing's heavy, ain't it?
You won't just put over... Wait a minute. What are we doing? Abner, set this thing down.
Oh, don't set it down on my foot.
Excuse me. Now, Granny, what right have you got to come in here and order us to move stuff around for you, Mr. Cashtag?
Hatstaff.
Oh, excuse me.
Come on now, you don't seem to realize. Mr. Hope is a busy man.
Well, what's he got to do with it?
Well, I told you, he's coming in Monday. Well, he is.
No.
Well, fine. I'll have Greta Hayworth go out and meet him.
Look here now. Do you doubt my word?
No.
Whatever gives you such a hide is that?
Well, here. I'll give you some proof. Yes. Here's a letter written to me by Mr. Hope. You can see for yourself. There's his signature right there.
Yeah, let me see. Hand it here. Get my specs down here where I can see.
And he can write, can't he?
Doggy, you know, there's his from right there. There's his name, see?
Could just be counterforged, though.
Dear Al, in regard to autograph hunters, it looks as though we'll have to up our price.
Hey, here, give me that.
What's the matter?
Well, I just told you to look at the signature. The letter is personal business.
Oh, well, I'll say one thing for him. He's... Sure, prints nice.
No, that was typewrote, Abner.
Oh.
Now then, about lunch.
Ain't you, are you hungry?
No, I'm talking about Mr. Hope. We'll have to arrange a lunch for Mr. Hope.
Yeah, sure, yeah. I can get Elizabeth to pack him one up.
Pack him one up?
Oh, yeah, Lord me, she'd be proud to do it. She'll put in a sweet potato and a couple of hard-boiled eggs, piece of fried chicken. She can fry chicken better than any woman in this whole part of the country. Ain't that right, Lon?
Oh, yeah. She outcaps them all.
Yeah, she can fry it, I'll say that.
Special or pie. She bakes uncommonly good pie.
Yeah.
Three kinds of them. Yeah. Open-faced, cross-barred, and kivered.
Oh, yeah. She's uncommonly good. Yeah.
But I don't know as I'd put her to all that bother.
Well, she wouldn't mind at all, Lon. She loves to cook for folks. Just likes to see them eat. Is that Mr. Hope a pretty hearty eater?
Gentlemen, for Mr. Hope, we have banquets, not a box of hard-boiled eggs.
Well, no, I said she'd put in a sweet potato and a fried pie and some fried chicken and...
Just a minute, Anna.
Yes, I'll make the arrangements for the luncheon myself. Now then, we'll have to arrange for some fuel.
Fuel?
Yes.
Is he on a diet of some kind? Don't he's eating down there at Luke Spear's lunch counter. He can do better than that. Of course, you take that gravy that Luke puts out down there on them hot beef sandwiches. There's some days that it does taste a little like kerosene.
I am talking about gasoline.
Well, some days it tastes a little like that, too, I reckon.
Mr. Hope doesn't care what it tastes like.
He don't. Well, he'll enjoy eating at Luke's, then.
He wants it for the return trip to the plane.
Well, in that case, I'd suggest going back to the box lunch. Elizabeth will be tickled to death to fix it for him. I know she will.
All right, skip it. I'll take care of that myself.
Well, all right, do as you like. The offer's still open, though. If you change your mind, just holler Mr. Hatstaff.
Hatstaff.
Oh, excuse me.
Now then, in regard to communications, Where is your nearest telegraph office? You see, Mr. Hope is a busy man, and it's necessary for him to keep in touch with many important
matters. Just a minute here, Mr. Hagstad. This has went too fur.
Hagstad.
Oh, excuse me.
That's all right.
This has went too fur. I don't know what your game is, but whatever it is, you ain't tricking us into nothing.
I'm not trying to trick anybody into anything.
All right, then. If Mr. Hope is actually coming here like you claim, what's he coming here for?
Mr. Hope is a busy man, and he doesn't have time to discuss every detail with me. My job is to prepare for his arrival, and that's what I'm doing. You may be sure that whatever he's coming here for is of the greatest importance.
Excuse me.
Well, otherwise, he wouldn't bother coming here.
Excuse me, I believe that was all arranged.
Well, answer it.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, let's see what else do I have to
do. Hello, jot him down, store. Abner Peabody doing the talking. How's that? Here, take up your phone. Can't hear nothing you're saying. What? Oh, just a minute. Here, Mr. Hamstaff, it's for you. Long distance.
Oh, thank you. Hello? Oh, yes, Bob. Yes, Bob?
He ain't fooling me now. That ain't Bob Hope.
It ain't helping.
Well, not too good, Bob, but...
this fella talked to me.
Yes, I'm doing the best I can, Bob. Yes, all right, Bob. Oh, just a minute, Bob. I want you to talk to a man here and convince him who you are.
Must not be him. He's got a last...
Yeah.
Talking.
All right, hold on. All right. Here, you talk to Mr. Hope yourself.
No, I ain't falling for none of your tricks.
Hey, let me talk to him. I'll talk to him.
Sure, go ahead.
Just give me that phone. Thank you. Hello? How's that? Oh, yes, sir, twice today. Yes, sir, twice a year. You what? Oh, all right. Yeah, goodbye. I guess you're right, Mom. That wasn't no radio star. That was a dentist.
A dentist?
Yeah.
Did he talk about cleaning teeth?
Well, that and about himself.
Granny's that is Hope, then. He's actually coming here. Mr. Hipstaff, looks like I owe you an apology.
Well, it looks like it's true. But why is Bob Hope coming to Pine Ridge? Well, be sure to join us again on our next regular visit down in Pine Ridge.